Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. You can stream live, and that's especially helpful for folks who are outside of our listening area who you'd like to share the opportunity to listen to shows here, such as this one. Today is June 3rd, 2015. The markets were up today, the Dow closing at 18,076, the NASDAQ at 5099, and the S&P at 2114. Last week, our show was on spring cleaning your financial life. Tonight, we're going to springboard off of that and talk about, in some ways, cash flow management, which is the euphemism for budgeting, and some tips to help you maximize what you're doing or not doing right now. So we'll see what we can do, drum up some ideas, help you be a little bit more proactive in your financial decisions. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you could still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer your question. The number to call in is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can call and talk live on air or give your question to Judy Ann and she'll jot it down and bring it into the studio. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So what I hope to do tonight is engage you in critical thinking about cash flow. Really, you know, before someone gets into the budgeting, it's not just about keeping track of your income and expenses. It's about understanding what they are. So we're going to talk about some of the differences in fixed expenses and flexible expenses. And then I want to kind of give you some ideas about really some smart ways to think about spending, in particular, the big expenses that we have. And I used a website called mycreditunion.gov. I love government websites. Anyone who's a regular listener will know that I like using government websites. So this was mycreditunion.gov. And they provided a lot of information. In fact, that's why I base so much on the show from this website, because there was so much information. Like if I had continued to read and click through all the links that they provided, I just would have gone crazy. It would end up being 10 shows because there was so much information available. So it is a website to check out for people who just want more information about managing their money, their cash flow and budgets. And it had tons of great ideas, which I am going to go through tonight, but there's even more information there as well. So mycreditunion.gov. And then interestingly, they also refer to other government websites for different resources as well. One in particular I'll talk about is from the Federal Trade Commission, which is another website I refer to frequently. So again, if you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. So one of the links that they talked about on that website, mycreditunion.gov, was a link to a Make a Budget spreadsheet. So it's called Make a Budget, And it's on the Federal Trade Commission, which I believe is probably FTC.gov or FederalTradeCommission.gov. And but I linked to it from the MyCreditUnion.gov website. So I linked right over. And it talks about helping you evaluate your expenses and whether they're flexible or fixed. Now, when I actually linked to that Make a Budget worksheet, I actually didn't see where it specifically talked about the differences between flexible and fixed expenses, but you can certainly adapt this budget worksheet to that. So let me first describe what the Make a Budget worksheet looks like, and then I'm going to talk about the differences between fixed expenses and flexible expenses. And then as we go through the show, I'm going to give you some, you know, eye openers on credit cards, and then some information on getting your free credit report. And also, if folks are in the market for mortgages, there's a little worksheet for that about mortgage shopping. I think that's important. I'm happy to be married to a man who analyzes everything and, you know, once maxed out an Excel spreadsheet. So we analyze a lot of our decisions on Excel spreadsheets, and it works quite well if you can adapt to it and make sure that you're considering all of pieces of whatever financial decision you're making. I also printed off some information on buying a car. So I don't know if I will get to all of this information, but what was fun is that it was all available on this website, mycreditunion.gov. So the Make a Budget worksheet, which is through the Federal Trade Commission, which it says actually consumer.gov. It has, you know, my income for the month. So it's like a budget for the month, and you list your income, your paychecks, your salary after taxes, benefits, things like that, and then other income. They said, for example, child support. I guess that could be alimony. It could be, you know, Social Security, whatever, pensions, whatever income that might be. And then the expenses they talk about for the month, they break down in housing, food, transportation, health, personal and family, finance, and other. So for sure, I would say the housing, the food, the transportation, the health would certainly be what I would categorize as more of those fixed expenses. So when you want to start filling in, obviously the housing and the food and health, those are, you know, priorities, as well as transportation. You want to make sure you can get to work. So you start categorizing those. And then we have the personal, which is things like laundry, donations. Those might be a little bit more flexible for sure. Entertainment, beauty care, that type of things. But there are also some personal and family expenses that aren't flexible necessarily, that could be fixed, such as child support or child care and laundry. So some of those expenses that we would call personal would also be considered fixed. And then there's a section for finance, which are fees for, you know, credit cards, banking, prepaid cards, and then a section for other, like school costs. Now, if school costs may end up being a fixed expense, if you're paying for college, that might be something that you would have to say is fixed. It's not flexible. So you can manipulate this spreadsheet however it will fit with your expenses, but that is a great start to at least get something down. Now, I know when I had Jane Bryant Quinn on the show as a guest, she is the finance writer for ARP, she said sometimes we need to make it simple enough for us to understand, and maybe people don't like budgeting and you shouldn't have a budget, just make it simple. Well, you have to make a decision if you want to take control of your financial life as well, because I know that the people who know how much they spend are the people who have money. So if you have questions tonight, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're going to take our first break. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets, on the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We're talking about cash flow planning is what I'm going to call it, talking about ways to be smarter with our expenses and how we're spending money. Let me just mention a couple things that I like to plug from time to time, and that is, one, I just want to give everyone a reminder about IRS phone call scams. Please do not respond to phone calls from the supposed IRS who are calling you and leaving you messages saying you owe money. So this is a constant reminder and a recurring one that we have to be mindful of. And please tell elderly parents, family, and friends to please, please use caution when responding to any phone call. Frankly, I let my phone ring, let the answering machine take it, and unless it's my mother calling, I don't pick up the phone. I do not have caller ID, folks, so that seems a little antiquated, but I don't have caller ID, so I don't know who's calling. I let the answer machine answer it, and I can't tell you how many times the IRS has called to tell me that we owe money. So those are scams. It's just my little reminder. Please do not respond to those. They are scams. The IRS will send you a written letter communication if they have something to say to you and talk to you. And even that, I tell people to immediately send to their tax preparer, because it doesn't always mean the IRS is correct either. They might just be sending you a notice based on information that was supplied to them, and it may not be all of the correct information. So watch out for that. The other thing I would like to remind people about, because it is June 3rd today, if you make estimated tax payments, quarterly estimated tax payments, those payments are due on June 15th. That's June 15th. So your second quarterly estimated tax payments are coming up, and please remember to do that. If you're someone who hasn't done it in the past and you owed in the prior year, you may be someone who either needs to adjust your withholdings to make up for a shortfall in your typical taxes due, or you can start making quarterly estimated tax payments. And there would be information regarding that on the IRS's website, irs.gov. So let's talk about your cash flow, and let's be a little bit smarter about how we're spending money, and let's think it through before we make big expenditures. And we talked about having a little budget, and there was one available on consumer.gov, the Federal Trade Commission's website, and also through mycreditunion.gov. Lots of information there. Many providers are issuing cash budget workflows. So you really just need to find something that works for you. The reason these templates are good, though, I think for people, is it alerts you to expense items that you may forget that you're making. You know, you might have set yourself up for automatic payment on some of your bills, and we just start to lose sight of what we're spending money on. So in some ways, this reminds us when we look at a list and it says internet, cable, phones, meals out, gas for car, parking, tolls. It'll help us remember some of the items that we're spending our money on that we may forget from day to day or time to time. Okay, so if you have questions this evening, phone number 610-758-8810 or through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. So once we have a budget template, or an Excel template, or a piece of paper, or a binder, whatever it takes for you to use to kind of track this down. Again, people who track their expenses are typically the people who are more successful at saving money. I don't mean to make you crazy, but that is That is my experience and what I've seen. So if you know what you're spending, then you know what you're saving too. It's a great way to save more and know what you have control over. So let's talk about fixed expenses. Fixed expenses are items you have little or no control over. You will pay a fixed amount of these expenses each month. So when we talked earlier about the budget sheet, we talked about housing. You have to pay your house payment. You have to make your real estate tax payment. You have to pay for your utilities. You have to do, if you have student loans, make your student loan payments, health insurance, auto loans. When we talk about flexible expenses, we're talking about expenses that you can control. Where are you spending money, you know, for food? Are you eating out all the time, or are you buying groceries, making your own meals at home to save money? Are you entertaining a lot? Are you going out? Are you paying for friends, trying to be the big deal, the show off? You know, oh, I'll cover this bill. I've heard that. Folks have told me they do that for their friends because the friends say they don't have enough money to go out. So you say, oh, I'll take you out. Well, your friend probably has more money than you because they're not spending. So those are flexible expenses, things that you can control. So you want to make sure that when you're looking at having that extra money beyond your fixed expenses, so you have your income that's coming in, then you have your fixed expenses that you have no control over. That gap, hopefully there is a gap, that gap should be going toward things like your retirement and savings, emergency reserves. In fact, those should not be flexible expenses. Those should be fixed expenses as well. All right. Now, when we talk about some of the expenses we have, I said that we want to also see if we can make better decisions about them. So we talk about home ownership. You know, there are folks who have mortgages. Did you shop for the best mortgage rate? There are people who rent. Did you get the best rent that you could? Did you buy more than you had to, either in renting or in home ownership? Are you buying more than you have to? Quite often, you know, I've heard realtors will say buy more than you can afford. Well, that works for some people, but it might not work for you. And if you want to get ahead in life, it's probably better not to buy more than you can afford, because then that affords you a little space, a little room in case you do have an emergency or lose a job, or to help you build up your savings, which you may have depleted by buying a new home, that type of thing. So when you're going to have these big type of expenses for home ownership, because we know that's going to be a fixed expense, we want to be really careful before we jump into the pool. We want to be careful and say, do we understand the difference between owning a home and renting? Owning a home is not just that mortgage payment or that insurance or that real estate taxes. It's also home maintenance. It's lawn care. So there are a lot of other expenses that go along with home ownership. So you want to be smart before you jump into that. All right. So you sit there and say, okay, if I'm now renting for $1,000 a month and I think I want to buy that house and the house is $1,200 a month, why don't you try living while you're renting still with the budget of a homeowner and see if you could make it? And if you seem to make it after 3 or 4 months, and then you would have accumulated some extra money because you were pretending you had those extra expenses, then maybe you're ready for that next step. But you want to be real careful. So when we come back from our next break, what we want to talk about is, I want to just give you some ideas if you are going to be a homeowner, understanding some of the differences in the kinds of mortgages that you can get, so that when you go into the decision of having this big fixed expense that you're not going to be able to really adjust too much in the future, you want to be really smart on the front end of that, being proactive to make sure it's going to work for you. So we'll talk a little bit about the different types of mortgages and looking at a checklist for shopping mortgages. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We're talking about being proactive with your cash flow management and being proactive on the front end of it. It's not just about having a budget and keeping track of the income in and the expenses out. It's about making proactive decisions before we tie ourselves into fixed expenses in our budget. Okay, so let's talk about mortgages for a minute. And there was a link on this website, mycreditunion.gov, for a mortgage shopping worksheet. So it gave you, I'm looking at it, it has a list of, you know, a couple different lenders, and then they go down. So it is already organized for you. You don't have to set up an Excel spreadsheet. It's already organized. And it says, what type of mortgage? Is it fixed rate, adjustable rate, conventional, FHA, other? And then if it's an adjustable rate, what's the minimum down payment, the loan term, the contract interest, APR, points, private mortgage insurance? How long must you keep PMI? What would the estimated escrow be? So for people who are not currently homeowners and maybe you're renting, this is very interesting because I know before I was a homeowner, I had no clue about some of this. And you don't realize the impact of all of these decisions. So it's really good to get educated about it before you go down this road. So when we talk about fixed rate mortgages, there was a worksheet courtesy of USA.gov, types of mortgages and the pros and cons of them. So we looked at fixed rate mortgages, no surprises. The interest rate stays the same over the entire term, 15, 20, or 30 years. And when we're in today's interest rate environments that are super, super low, that looks like a great deal because we like to lock in. And as we see interest rates go up, we're not as worried. Now, when I first bought our new home, our first home, excuse me, like in 1988, I think our interest rate was 12%, if I remember right. And we did a 30-year term back then. But of course, it was fixed, but it didn't necessarily mean I was locked into it for 30 years because you can eventually do something called a refinance. So if mortgage interest rates come down, you should think about refinancing. So for any listeners out there who have, you know, higher interest rates, and I'm talking like 5%, 6%, you really need to go revisit whether or not it would be economical and affordable for you to refinance to lower that interest rate. Just because you locked in at a fixed rate and it was a high rate doesn't mean you're locked in forever. Now, again, folks who lock in at the low rates that we have right now, we could be just sailing pretty for a very long time. So the con there then was for the fixed rate, if interest rates fall, you could be stuck paying a higher rate. But typically, if you have good credit and you've been good about paying, typically you can find another bank that would help you refinance. Now, granted, it might cost you to refinance, so that would be the little stickler there. But at least you know what you're dealing with. Adjustable rates, ARMs, adjustable rate mortgages or variable rate mortgages, those are a little trickier and they make me a little bit more nervous because they usually offer a lower initial interest rate than the fixed rate loans. So you might be tempted to jump on that thinking, well, this is great because it's really low now. And if it goes down, maybe my rate will go down and I can get in, you know, a better rate because it's an adjustable rate mortgage. Well, it's a little bit of a better rate because you also have a risk to that rate, which means after an initial period, the rate could fluctuate over the life of the loan. And when the interest rates rise, generally your loan payments will rise too. So you don't want to be locked into a higher interest rate when you didn't have that budgeted into your plan. So when you're going to look for a mortgage for a home, and maybe you're a new homeowner, a new buyer, and you say, oh, well, great, we're going to go with this lower rate, and this is our monthly payment. And then 3 years down the line, all of a sudden, it's, you know, $500 more a month. Well, that's not what you had planned for. That's not what you had budgeted for. So this is what I'm talking about, being proactive ahead of time and being smart about what you're doing. Where the adjustable rate mortgage interest are interesting to me is where someone who actually has the cash means to pay off that mortgage, if they could get a lower rate by using the adjustable rate mortgage, it may be enticing to go into that kind of situation if we know that we have the money on the sideline to pay it off in the event those rates increase beyond a tolerable level. There's a federal FHA, which is Federal Housing Administration loans. The pros of that, they allow the buyers who may not otherwise qualify for a home loan because of less than perfect credit to obtain one with a low down payment. And the con is the size of your loan may be limited. All right. And that's usually first time home buyers typically. And sometimes it doesn't mean that you can't use it a second time. It just means a certain period of time may have to lapse. There's VA loans, guaranteed loans for eligible veterans, active duty personnel, and surviving spouses, offers competitive rates, lower no down payments, and again, the size of the loan may be limited. Balloon mortgage, here's another caution. Balloon mortgages, usually a fixed rate loan with relatively low payments for a fixed period of time. The con for that is after initial period, the entire balance of the loan is due immediately. This type of loan may be risky for some borrowers because even when that balloon becomes due, you may have an option to kind of finance that somewhere else. But what if you weren't good with your payments? What if your credit's bad and all of a sudden you can't find anyone to help you finance it? Then you could be in trouble. There's interest-only mortgages. Borrowers pay only the interest on the loan in monthly payments for a fixed term. We see these loans quite often out of California where folks can hardly afford the mortgages, you know, on their homes. So they get these interest-only mortgages. So they end up not really paying off the principal balance. They're just paying the interest. And then in the event there's turnaround on the real estate and high appreciation, eventually you sell the house and you make so much more money, you're able to pay off the mortgage. I think that's the logic there. But the con is after an initial period, the balance of the loan is due. So this could be much higher payments, paying a lump sum or refinancing. Reverse mortgages, that's really almost a show in itself. This allows seniors who are 62 or older to convert equity in their homes to cash. You don't have to pay back the loan and interest as long as you live in the house. So the con is it's subject to aggressive lending practices and false advertising promises, particularly by lenders that prey on seniors. Check to make sure the loan is federally insured. So that kind of confuses me sometimes. I don't know a lot about reverse mortgages, and it confuses me because if they don't ever have to pay back the loan as long as they live in the house, I guess why would I worry about it? But I guess the big if there is if they continue to live in the house. So if they leave, maybe that's the problem. You probably lose the equity in your house because it's going to that mortgage lender who did the reverse mortgage. All right. So this is available on the My creditunion.gov website, talking about the different mortgages, and then the shopping worksheet, which again goes into more than what I described earlier. It's not just the different kinds of interest rates. It's also about the different kinds of fees, like the application fees, the origination fees, lender fees, appraisal fees. What's nice about this, folks, is that you can compare them and get all the details of each little thing, because sometimes it's all bundled together and you can't break it up. You break it up, you get a really clean picture of what's costing you, and then you can make an informed decision. We are coming up on halftime. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we are talking about just that, financial choices tonight. In regards to cash flow management, having a budget, bad word, budget, but the empowering part of having a budget, or at least understanding your cash inflows and your outflows in some way, whether that's on a piece of paper, a book, a binder, a journal, a diary, an Excel spreadsheet, or software like Quicken or Mint.com, some of these websites that are available, online. To help you manage your money, know what's coming in and know what's going out. But I'm asking you to take it to the next level and be proactive in your spending, looking at what you're spending on your fixed expenses. Again, it's not just about, here's my fixed expenses. Let's just worry about discretionary spending and what we're doing on entertainment. No. Let's amp this up. Take it to the next level and get smarter about even our fixed expenses. What kind of house expenses are we going to have? What kind of car expenses? I can talk about that in a minute. And using credit cards is another one of those. So let me round this out talking about the mortgages. So again, there's information available on mycreditunion.gov regarding the different types of mortgages and a mortgage shopping list, which is great. You can shop around, go to different financial institutions and see what kind of rates they will give you, whether it's a credit union or a big national bank or one of our local banks, which is always nice to patronize our local banks as well, but that you shop around and comparison shop. My husband and I, we bought a pool, I guess it's been 7 years ago. And this is one of those examples where he used an Excel spreadsheet. And it was just incredible when you looked at all of the different costs and trying to compare the different kinds of the pool packages that some of these pool builders put together, that until we broke it down, you didn't really see what the end cost was going to be. So one would say, well, the pool is, I'm going to make up these numbers. I'm going to pretend numbers. The pool is going to be $10,000. And someone else said the pool is going to be $12,000. And someone else said the pool will be $13,000. Well, when we broke it down and looked at all of the different pieces, the pool with $10,000, we'd have to pay, let's say, for the water, and where the pool for $12,000 included the water, and the pool for $12,000 or $13,000 included, a pump or something. So it's so important to break down all of these different pieces. We have a call. We have Melissa on line one. Melissa, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. How can I help you?
Hey. There's a delay. Okay.
Yes, there's a delay. Sorry, it helps if you turn your radio down because then we can hear each other a little bit better.
All right. I'll turn my radio down.
Okay, very good. So how can I help you?
I am on a fixed rate with almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
I try to pay the same amount to each thing every month. A few things change, like maybe my electric, Sometimes my food changes, but for the most part, I'm fixed. Mm-hmm. Lately, I've been trying to save like $100 a month, so I have some sort of safety net.
Mm-hmm. Good.
My question is, I've been paying my student loans more per month than I actually have to try to get them down quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a smart idea?
Well, what it's so paying extra on the student loans, do you still have the extra $100 a month to put in savings?
Yes.
Okay, so that's good. So that means you are even saving more money than just the $100 because you're taking care of some of the debt. Do you have credit card debt as well, if I can ask?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have the credit card debt.
What
I'm
actually
paying some of that more than I have to every month.
Okay. What I like to do, Melissa, is there's two theories here, if I can get these to you in a condensed version here. Two theories for paying off some of these expenses. One, I like to look at the highest cost expense first. So I would do an inventory of all of your expenses and I'd say, okay, now I know everything I'm paying each month, but which one is costing me what? So I would make a list of credit card A is 24% interest. Credit card B is 12.5%.
Actually, we only have one credit card.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. So then you look at your credit card rate and you look at your student loan rate. And if your credit card rate is higher, I would put all the extra money toward the credit card. So that's one theory. I like putting money toward the highest cost expense. Now, the second theory...
And that's actually, believe it or not, I've been doing that.
Okay, good. The second theory is, some people will say, to pay off, it's more empowering if you can pay off small balances. So let's pretend you had a student loan of $1,000 and a student loan of $50,000. And maybe the student loan with $50,000 is, a higher rate, let's say 8%, and your student loan of $1,000 is 4%. Some people say it's so empowering. It makes you feel good to show that you got a loan paid off or a credit card paid off to pay off small balances first. So that's one, theory. I like paying off high cost debt first. I just do and it's very empowering.
The loans are actually from one place.
Okay.
So whether I pay off a little or a lot, it all goes to the same monster.
Right. Well, I think it's good that you're paying extra. Saving the $100 a month. I think that's really important. You're going to see that start to build up. One thing I'd quickly mention as well is that one place sometimes I tell folks to save is if your income is within reason, you might be eligible, and you work, you have earned income, you might be eligible to set up a Roth IRA. And the Roth IRA, if you invest monies and earn some income on it, is not going to be taxable as long as you keep it in the Roth IRA. But if you ever needed to take money out, you could take it out for emergencies or something like that. Only your original contribution, and you won't have any penalties or anything. Now, this is, I would suggest this only after you've built up some good emergency reserve. So you do your $100 a month. It might take you 3 years, and maybe you can move from $100 a month to $150 a month. And
yeah, once I get a job in my field.
yeah. So just keep, working on it and building it up. And I think that that's good. And if everything is fixed, then you're a little tighter right now. But if you sit down and do this inventory of your income coming in and your expenses and what the minimums are, what it's costing you, you might see a little bit of flexibility in there more than you realize. I don't know. But tracking it, Melissa, is really good, only because I know from doing this for so many years that people who keep track of their income and their expenses will do better.
I think the only thing I could probably stop doing is I am a clothes hoarder.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
And I probably spend a lot more money on clothes than I need to.
Right. Because you know why? We think we need them. Just like dieters have trouble dieting because we have to eat food, right? So it's hard to diet. And people who, you know, like clothes, you think, well, I have to have clothes. So you can talk yourself right into it. The other thing you could do then, Melissa, is you may not itemize deductions on your tax return.
I kind of shop at thrift stores.
You do shop at thrift stores. Yeah, but you're still spending, you see.
Yeah.
So you just got to stop. You got to figure out how to stop. Now, one thing you could do is to ease yourself into it is some of the thrift stores will take clothes on consignment and you can use, you know, the proceeds to buy other clothes. That's one thing. But, you know, that's a big expense that I think you could probably control better. And, you know, I used to be someone who I was a little bit of an impulse buyer when I was younger. I loved Snoopy, and I'm talking like high school. I loved Snoopy characters, so I would buy everything Snoopy and cookie cutters and stuffed animals, and it was crazy. And then one day I just said, you know, what am I doing with this stuff? Why do I need it? So, you know, unless you're wearing the same outfits, you know, two or three times a week, you really don't need more clothes. I mean, you don't have to wear a different outfit.
I've actually realized that, and I'm like,
Well, track it. Like, Melissa, track it, and you will be more empowered to hoard money than hoard clothes. And that's what you have to start saying to yourself. Do I want to hoard clothes or do I want to hoard money? And not that money is the end-all be-all, because I certainly don't believe that, but money gives you freedom and lets you take other risk later. And if you don't have the job that you're supposed to have right now, and we know what the job market is, you want to save up enough money to give yourself options later and flexibility and all of that. So hoard money, not clothes. Okay?
Yep.
All right, Melissa. Good luck. I hope it works. Okay.
Thanks.
Take care. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a fun phone call, Melissa. Thank you for calling in. I like getting real-life stories and real-life, you know, issues that we have. It's kind of a debate. I remember sometimes seeing people in the grocery store buying steaks, and, you know, friends said, you know, well, look at them. They're buying steaks and they really shouldn't afford those steaks. But I said at the same time, you know, maybe that's all they had in their life. So we kind of want to balance the idea of saving money and being thrifty and all of that with living our lives as well. But certainly there are areas where we all know that we can be a little bit better. Speaking of credit cards, because we were talking about credit cards with Melissa, here was an example about credit cards and paying off credit cards. So here, this was a fun example. Suppose when you're 18, you charge $1,500, that's $1,500 worth of clothes and DVDs on a credit card with a 19% interest rate. What they said at 19%, if you repay a minimum amount each month, and different credit card companies have different minimums that they expect, and in this example, it was 4%. 4% was your minimum payment for the outstanding balance. It would take 8 years to pay that off, and at the end of that time, you would have paid an extra $889 of interest on a $1,500 balance. In that same example, if you had a credit card company that the minimum balance, the minimum payment was 2.5%, some of them are like barely touching what your balance is, and 2.5% of the outstanding balance on a $1,500 credit card, the minimum payment would be $37.50 with a 90% interest rate. It would take 17 years to pay off that $1,500, and you would pay an extra $2,138 of interest. So it is a good idea to try to pay extra when we can, and certainly to pay off the higher interest rate credit cards or student loans when we can. And I know there is some empowerment and, you know, incentive to try to do those low balances if it makes you, you know, feel like you've accomplished something. But I love seeing those high interest rate balances go down more. because it's just a lot of extra money. So watch the credit card balances. Also, make sure, folks, that you check out your credit report from time to time. There are free credit reports. It's only from one site only, where you can get these free credit card reports. Don't be scammed. Don't be confused. And it is annualcreditreport.com. That's annualcreditreport.com. And you can go on. It was fairly simple. You can get it through Experian, Equifax, or TransUnion. And they will ask you some information particular to your situation, like what credit card did you have and past few years, yes or no, and try to trick you and things like that. So free credit reports. I always say it. I never do it. So I did it because I was doing the show. Very easy. Free credit reports. It's a great idea to let you know how you're doing and if anyone's checking on your credit. We're going to take our last break. We will be back in a minute. The phone number is 610-758-8810.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Lehigh Valley weather, currently 69 degrees. Tonight, a slight chance of rain, low around 54. Tomorrow, Thursday, a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 2 p.m. Cloudy with a high near 70. Thursday night, a slight chance of showers, low around 55. For Friday, a slight chance of showers again after 11 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 75. Friday night, a low of 60. For Saturday, a 30% chance of showers before noon, partly sunny, high near 81. Saturday night, a low around 57. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 76 degrees. What's there not to like, Lori?
Sounds good to me, John.
We continue now with
okay, welcome back, folks. And we are talking about cash flow management. And I have another caller on line one. I have Eugene. Hello, Eugene. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, how are you?
Very good.
Good. How can
I
help you?
Listen, I love your show.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I have a property that I bought when the market was really high.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's worth, like, I'd say almost $30,000 less. I could never sell it at the same rate.
Yeah.
And people are calling me about the HARP program, H-A-R-P. And I don't know. I kind of figure it might be good, but I also think there must be something evil with it that we don't know about. Because, you know, you have so much equity you put in buying the place
mm-hmm.
for so many years, and now you have to refinance a mortgage through the bank, and that means you have to give them so much money. I'm just a little confused. Maybe you can help me.
Well, you know what? I actually was not really familiar with the HARP program, but just as you were talking, I quickly typed it in, and there is a website for this, harp.gov, harp.gov, and it talks about probably how to get started with it, and it tells what it is. And it says when you have little equity in your home or owe as much or more on your mortgage than your home is worth, it could be difficult to find a lender willing to help refinance. But for borrowers who have remained current on their mortgages and have loans owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac,
right,
there is hope. It's called HARP. So I would have to look up some more information on that. But if it's a governmental program, it might certainly be something that you should consider. The end date to get a HARP refinance is December 31st, 2016. So do you have a high interest rate now, Eugene?
It's like 6.5.
Yeah, so this might be an opportunity. Now, it seems like I may have had a call about this once, and the person had a condo, I think, and they weren't eligible, if I remember right. But it depends on who's calling you. So one of the things that I would probably do if you have internet access is I would go to this website, do some research on it for yourself first. I'm all about research. I love researching. So I would do some research on this And at some point in the future, I'll have to write this down to do a show on this, along with just mortgages in general. It's been a while since I've done it. So I would research it. And then what I might do, Eugene, is call like either a credit union that you're affiliated with or maybe one of our local banks, and then go and do some shopping to see if it matters who you might work with. I just don't have time to kind of look it all up right now through the website here, but I think it's something that it's, if it's only good through 2016, it might be something you want to look at sooner than later.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Good luck, Eugene. And if you have good luck, you're always welcome to call me anytime and let me know on the show sometime if you're driving and it worked for you. I'd love to hear how it went. But in the meantime, I'll also try to look it up and get some more information on it so that I'm prepared the next time someone calls. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
So thanks for the call. Thanks for the question. Have a good night. This is great, listeners. I like when people call, and I'm always looking for show ideas, topic ideas. Whenever I don't know something, I try to make it a show idea so that I can research it and look it up and learn more about it. So I had not heard of HARP before, or if I had, you know, it was kind of vague. It sounded slightly familiar, but it's certainly something I will try to look up and get more information on. And maybe in a couple weeks, next week I have guests, but in a couple weeks, Eugene, if you haven't found anything about it, I'll look that up and get more information so that I can give a follow-up piece on the show for 2 weeks from now. Okay, so we are talking about cash flow management, and I love that we have listeners who are being proactive and thinking it through. And again, for me, folks, it's all about trying to do it ahead of time. So even when we're talking about our credit cards, are you looking at your interest rate? Do you know what you're paying? Here's something else that's come up recently. I had a neighbor who had a debit card swiped somehow. Apparently, there's, and I haven't researched this, but there was some gizmo that they can just kind of walk past you while you're sitting there and sweep the information off your debit card. I've got to check into that. But somehow this person's debit card was compromised. And I think it's probably been a couple of years. I did a show on the difference between credit cards and debit cards. And debit cards don't have the same protections as credit cards. And I think you know, there's a cap on how much they will, the debit card company, the bank or whomever is backing the debit card will reimburse you if it's been compromised. And I think you have to let them know within a very quick period of time. Whereas a credit card, you know, there could be several transactions and you might not realize it at first. And they will honor that and not make you pay for it. So you really want to make sure how you're also not only spending your money, but how you're spending your money. Are you using cash, checks, credit cards, debit cards? Just be careful with the differences and the different protections that you have with the various forms of payment that you're using. Likewise, with online payments, you want to secure your password information and your bank information and monitor your accounts regularly as well. So another big expense that we have when we're buying and spending our money, remember we talked about housing, whether you have a mortgage or a rent or a rental payment, you know, for some people, the rent option could be cheaper for them. You know, a lot of times people say, I'm not building up any equity. Well, if you buy a house that's $400,000 and you can barely make the payments, you may not be building up equity. And maybe you were fine in the rental apartment that was $1,000 a month, you know, $4,000 mortgage payment, building up equity versus $1,000 rent payment. You know, you might be building up cash in your bank account that way. So think that through. Nothing wrong with renting. Same thing happens with cars. You know, are you buying, renting, or leasing? And I did have a show, I think, last fall on the differences between buying and leasing, and also whether you're going to buy new or if you will buy used. So you want to think about doing that. There was information on the mycreditunion.gov website for buying a car as well. So for, I feel like the show in particular is geared toward young people tonight, because a lot of times people, you know, through their years in their 50s, you know, they think they have it all figured out. I would beg to differ. You want to still always be attentive to what you're doing in your financial life. But for young people, you know, I know that my husband and I, when we bought our first house, we really were on our own. We were, of course, used a great realtor, but who guided us through some of this. But it was so foreign to us thinking about, you know, FHA and interest rates and how much do you put down, and mortgage insurance, what is that? And, oh, at some point we could get the mortgage insurance back. In fact, maybe I will do a show on this, Eugene, and I'll talk about mortgage insurance as well. Maybe I'll get a realtor to come on and we can talk about mortgages and buying homes and things like that. Anyway, if you don't know all these terms, so the same thing happens when buying a car. So there is some information on the mycreditunion.gov website on buying a car as well, talking about researching your new car, checking out publications at the library, the bookstore, going on the internet, knowing how to negotiate the prices, learning the terms, which is really important, the difference between an invoice price, base price, the Monroney sticker price, which I had never heard that term before, but that's basically that sticker we see on the windows in the car dealerships. It's a requirement. It lists the base price, manufacturer's installed options, suggested retail price, all different things. And then the dealer sticker price, which they said is usually on a supplemental sticker. And not just in buying your car and understanding what you're paying for in buying, but also financing your car. You want to talk about, you know, whether you finance it through the dealership or do you go to a credit union or a bank, and the difference is in financing that you can get, whether it's used or new. You know, 5-year loan. I think when we first bought our car, there wasn't even a 5-year loan. It didn't exist. I think it was like a 3-year or a 4-year, and you thought you were really stretching it if you went to a 4-year. And now there's 5-year loans on cars. So you really want to understand what you're getting yourself into when you purchase a car and how you're financing it. And if you haven't purchased a car yet and you're thinking you can afford to, here's my little trick with that again. You think you're going to be able to afford that $300 a month payment that you don't have now? Well, start socking away $300 extra a month for 6 months. If you were able to do it, then yes, maybe you can afford $300 a month. But if you aren't able to do it, then what makes you think you're going to be able to afford it? So also, if you take good care of your car, so here's another, you know, smarter decision in your cash flow management when we think about purchasing a new car. I love not having car payments. So in order to have your car last longer so that you don't have a car payment, you want to make sure you're doing the maintenance and service on your car. Take it to the dealership or the oil place. Get your oil changed. Get your, you know, brakes checked. Do all your regular maintenance, because that's cheaper than letting your car go and having an expensive repair because of your lack of attention to the car. And it's also cheaper than buying a new car sooner because, you know, it wore out and you didn't take care of it. So smarter decisions with our spending up front. So it is one thing to budget. It's one thing to understand the differences between discretionary spending and non-discretionary. Non-discretionary being those fixed expenses. But being empowered in how much control we have over those fixed expenses as well. Being smarter about them up front. I've told the story before. When my husband and I bought the house that we're in now, we could have afforded more. We said, no, what if I, you know, work part-time, stay part-time? Let's buy a house that doesn't require us to have 2 full-time jobs. And it certainly gives you some relief and some wiggle room for emergencies that come up, etc. Well, tonight's show went very, very fast for me, and I want to give kudos to this website again, mycreditunion.gov. I think lots of great information there. I love the government websites. As Eugene had mentioned, there's a HARP program for folks who may not have the equity in their house that they would need to refinance under traditional circumstances, and there could be some relief for you under this program, HARP.gov. I will look up more information on that, and in 2 weeks, I will try to do a show on mortgages and HARP. Next week, though, we are going to talk about transitions financially and emotionally with Rod Young, my regular fill-in host, Rod Young, CPA, CFP, and Lori Young, who's a licensed professional counselor. Lori's Rod's wife. She's been on the show before, and she's just phenomenal with helping us kind of think through the emotional aspects of finances as well. And I think it's especially important during periods of transition, like divorce, retirement, you know, death. So we're going to talk about transitions financially and emotionally next week. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.